Welcome to this podcast produced by Imagine, your resource for early childhood music therapy. Imagine is produced by Della Vista Publisher and can be found on the web at www.imagine.musictherapy.biz. The title of this podcast is From In-Person to Teletherapy, The More Chaotic, The Better, and features Lauren Richards in an interview with Dr. Petra Kern. Hello, I'm Dr. Petra Kern, the editor-in-chief of the Imagine magazine. Welcome to Lauren Richards. Thank you for joining me today, Lauren, on this Imagine podcast. Over the past year, the COVID-19 global pandemic has required us to be flexible and adjust how we work with young children and their families. In this year's Imagine podcast series, we would like to explore how your work with young children and their families has directly or indirectly changed as a result of the pandemic, what you have learned and experiences you have had. So Lauren, my first question for you is, where do you work and what is your role?
Hi, Dr. Petra. Thank you so much for having me on your podcast today. I'm excited to meet with you and talk to you about what we've been doing. So I am an occupational therapist with Amigo Baby. Amigo Baby is an early intervention provider in Ventura County in California, in Southern California.
What kind of services do you offer to your children and their families right now? And just for the listeners that you know, I met Lauren at the Division for Early Childhood conference a couple of weeks ago, where she was presenting about her work with the Amigo Babies. And I was very impressed with what she was doing, working through telehealth practice in the natural environment of her clients. But she's going to tell us about that.
Yeah, so the services we offer, we do have early intervention specialists, speech therapists, speech therapy assistants, physical therapists, and occupational therapists. And prior to the pandemic, we were, you know, priding ourselves on providing family-centered services in the child's natural environment. So that could look like homes, daycares, the park, the mall, dental office, really wherever the child was and wherever the parents were able to meet, where they were spending their time. And we do service a lot of families that are Spanish speaking, or actually speak an indigenous language of Mexico. So there's a large community in the area that we serve that speak Mixteco or Zapoteco. So some of those families actually don't speak Spanish, or they speak a small amount of Spanish. So we do have a lot of immigrant families that do need some kind of extra support with things like that. So,
mm-hmm. And so how have those services changed due to the global pandemic?
So since March 2020, when we received notification from the CEO of Amigo Baby, Pablo Velez, we canceled all in-home sessions immediately. And that following Monday, we met with a virtual meeting and started our training on how to work with telehealth. So you and I were talking earlier about how telehealth is definitely not a new concept, but it was for all of us at Amigo Baby. We had been working exclusively person to person in home. So it did require a lot of training of ourselves and our families. And since March 2020, we have been 100% virtual.
So I'm just curious, what did the retraining look like? What did you learn, or how did you prepare yourself and the whole team? And you are also the coordinator of the services and I think head of the therapy department, right?
Yes. Yeah, so during the time, I wasn't the head at the time that we started. That is something that kind of came about during the pandemic. There's been lots of changes since March 2020. So I was just really fortunate to have a lot of supervisors who jumped into action. And we had our training started on a Monday, and we spent 3 days in training, in breakout sessions virtually. Really, a lot of that training was supporting each other. We were all really nervous about what was going to be happening and how are we going to do our jobs this way. I'm used to physically being there and moving the child and helping the parent do this and bringing supplies for the family. How am I going to be valuable to these families, and what am I going to do? And of course, we were really nervous about coronavirus ourselves. Am I safe? Can I go to the grocery store? So a lot of our training was really our supervisors educating us on what was going on in the research with coronavirus, what was going on in the research with teletherapy. Thankfully, there was a lot of research that had been done over the past decade on teletherapy. And so we were able to utilize that information out there to train ourselves. And I think a lot of the training for us was role-playing. I think that was the biggest part of it, was just getting in a group with some of my coworkers, role-playing a situation and talking about how did that make us feel? What did we learn from that? And then being able to apply that to our family.
And you demonstrated this so well with the video you were streaming during the DEC conference. Can you give an example how that works? How are you now coaching your families and your clients through the computer screen? How does that look like? Because you did it so well. You almost felt as a viewer, you almost felt you were with the family and just giving them instructions, and it flew so naturally. Can you describe our listener what a session would look like of an occupational therapist in a tele-intervention session?
Yeah, absolutely. So you and I are sitting here, and I'm sitting at my desk right now. And so some of my sessions are like that, where I can sit and talk to the parent, and we can just talk about what their goals are, and I can share some information on that. And between myself and the parent, we can really collaborate on how to move forward and make a joint plan for what to work on with their child. Other times, I really do rely on my own body and my own space to model to the parents what we're talking about. So I'm working on a laptop right now. So that's great for me. Gives me the freedom to then pick up my laptop and move it around to another space and get down on the floor. So now I'm down on the floor with the parent who is on the floor with their child, and I can show them through my own body or maybe a doll of what we need to kind of do to get their child working on getting into different positions for crawling and reaching and using two hands together or feeding themselves.
And you gave also a great example how to work with siblings outside in the backyard.
Yeah.
How does that work then?
Yeah. One of the great things about a lot of our families is we are doing stuff on their phones or on their tablets. So they're also free to move around. So if a child is really, we're doing a session and we're working on maybe stacking blocks, but then the child starts going to the door a lot, we're able to go, Mom, what do you think she's going to the door for? What's going on there? And the mom's able to say, well, you know, around this time, we usually go play outside. Oh, great. Let's do that. Let's work on putting on her shoes and putting on her jacket and her hat. Let's go play outside. You can just bring the phone with you and we can work on different things out there. Maybe kicking a ball or stepping over obstacles, walking in the grass, picking flowers. Mm-hmm. And so really at that point, it's that freedom. And if there are siblings there and other family members there, it's so important to pull them into it. I think it was Larry who had said at that meeting that we were both at together, the more chaotic, the better. And I agree with that. The more chaotic, the better. Cause that is, that's life. It is chaos for the families, and they're not going to be in a perfect little bubble of quiet where they can fully concentrate on what we're doing. There's other people in their family that they need to work with and play with. Siblings want to be involved, so the more chaotic, the better.
Yes, but that takes a lot of improvisation and flexibility from your end, but also being able to observe what's going on in your screen, that kind of limited view you have on your screen, and then picking up those moments of, oh, they're walking to the door, or oh, there is actually a flower in the garden which the child could pick up. Oh, there's a bucket or something. So it takes a lot of observation skills from you. And what I found is also that we need to have much more consultation or coaching language to be very descriptive and very to the point what you're saying, so that people are getting it the right way. So how did you improve that? Or have you always been that natural in just describing what needs to be done?
Oh, I think we definitely learned a lot about that. There were certainly a few sessions towards the beginning where we may have been moving too fast or having unrealistic expectations of the parents. And we were really quickly able to learn that it was not going to work that way. And we really needed to slow down completely slow down and just go back to basics, simplify what we were doing with parents. I think the biggest thing that helps us be creative and be able to come up with stuff quickly is just having the beginning of the session be about talking with the parents. What are their goals and what do they want to work on? Mm-hmm. And then thankfully, because of our experience being in there in person and doing all these things ourselves, we're able to go, oh, I remember that time that I worked on, I found that piece of tape in that family and I know that they had an extra paper towel roll. And so we worked on putting the roll of tape on the paper towel roll to work on using two hands together for that toddler. So I noticed that roll of tape on the floor. Maybe if I ask mom if she has some kind of stick shape thing, we can recreate that. So I think I'm pulling a lot on previous experience and being able to just ask the parent, let the parent know what I'm thinking that we could work on. And a lot of times they're the ones coming up with the ways they can problem solve.
Yes, perfect. In terms of the clinical data, I guess you're collecting data on the goal achievements of IEP goals, IFSP goals. Do you feel like you're as effective with the families as in-person service?
Yes. So far, the data that that Amigo Baby has been able to collect with our developmental assessments, we have seen that the numbers are not really any statistically different than what they were when they were in-person services. And I think just from an anecdotal point of view, just talking to the parents about their experience with it, we're getting so much positive feedback. And that word empowering, yeah, that is exactly what's happening when we have to step back, when we have to coach, when we're forced to slow down and simplify things. You really need to understand what you're talking about when you need to explain it in a way that's clear to a parent who's not an occupational therapist. You have to sit back and go, okay, what does this concept really mean? How do I explain it in a way that makes sense? So you really do have to understand what you're talking about on a whole nother level.
Right.
So I think that, yeah.
So I'm glad to hear that your parents and the families benefit from it and acknowledge this as well. But what kind of adjustment did they have to make in the children? And I remember from the presentation, you have been also very witty of writing grants and getting devices for the families so that they actually can connect with you and internet speed or whatever it was. So I'm wondering, so what were the adjustments for your families?
Mm-hmm. So some of our families were from the get-go able to jump on board and they had the devices that they needed and we were able to continue without much of a gap in services. However, we did have a lot of families that, because potentially they were going through job loss or they lost a lot of hours or just the fear of what's going on with the coronavirus and with the pandemic, it was really overwhelming for families. We also had a lot of families that did not have the access to the technology. They didn't have Wi-Fi or they didn't have a data plan that would support doing video conferencing. Maybe they lived in an area where the signal quality was just so poor that it wasn't really functional. We also had families that just didn't have up-to-date devices, so downloading the application was not possible on their devices. So Amigo Baby did invest in tablets to go out and give to families as a loaner tablet to the families that could not access the technology we needed them to on their own devices. So that has opened up a lot of opportunities for us to connect with some of the families that otherwise we were only able to do phone calls with.
Right, and did you need to give them a training then on the tablet, how to use it, or how did you do that part?
Mm-hmm. So that part has definitely been an ongoing thing. A lot of the families that did end up receiving the tablets do tend to be the families that are the lower income families, the maybe immigrant families that might not have as much of an education. So a lot of those families don't read. So training someone over the phone, because these tablets were delivered by mail so that it was a contact-free thing. So we were training people over the phone and some families, that did not read. So it did take a couple months worth of sessions in some cases of really helping them step by step. Okay, remember, look at this, this symbol. It looks like this. It has this color on it. So you click that one. Okay, tell me what you see. And just going through it step by step. And now we're to a point where the families that have had the tablets for a while now are able to show up to their appointment on time without our support. They know how to set it up, and we have easy access to them now.
That's awesome.
But it did take, yeah, it did take a lot of work.
Yeah. Yes. Would you say that was the biggest challenge, or what's the biggest challenge for you from the beginning of March 2020 to now in providing this kind of service?
Definitely the technology was a huge barrier from some of our coworkers being able to access the technology to our families. I think that the biggest challenge for myself was feeling unsure about what I could really provide these families when I wasn't there in person. And the families, some of them were not quite seeing the value of what we could provide. And I think at the very beginning, I was questioning it as well. But once we got started and we realized all of the knowledge and the power that we have, and we really just using that coaching model to allow us to share that with the families, really helped me to see the value that I have with working with teletherapy. And it's been an amazing experience.
Mm-hmm. And what was the biggest challenge for your clients? And let's talk about the children. What's the biggest challenge for them?
I think the biggest challenge once we got past all of the technology stuff and everything was for the parents to become more comfortable being the ones leading the sessions and being the one playing and being silly with their child. I think that for some families that comes really natural, and for other families that's not really the typical way that they interact with their children. And so when we were coming into the home, we were doing that. We were getting on the floor and we were getting really silly and playful. And the parent was more comfortable watching from the couch or nearby. And so this, now we had that role reversal where it was really the parent who's the one getting down on the floor and having to be silly and interact with their child. So I think that that was a bit of a barrier and a challenge, because it was so tempting for us to continue staying in that role and just being on screen and being silly and having the child look at the screen and attend to us. Right. But of course, that's not nearly as powerful as them being in the real world with their parent and in a three-dimensional, in a three-dimensional world, not a two-dimensional screen.
Right. And so you mentioned already a couple of benefits, but what would you say is really an outstanding benefit of doing teleinterventions?
So I think that some of the best positive things was for my coworkers and I, my colleagues and I, for really working on our coaching skills and becoming better at explaining what we understand and explaining it in a way that parents understand. And being able to empower the parents to do things for them, for themselves and for their own families. And I think one of the things I really got out of it was just sometimes the parents really did surprise me of what they were capable of. And sometimes the children really surprised their parents of what they were capable of. I've had quite a few sessions where I might have suggested something to try, like, let's go fold laundry. And the parent would say, she's not going to be able to do that. I mean, I don't know. Okay. And by the end of the session, the parent is going, I had no idea she was able to match socks. And I had no idea she could actually try and fold the shirt the way I fold the shirt. I'm definitely going to have her help me next time. Look at all the things she can learn.
That's awesome. So you told me before that your team is discussing of going back to in-person services, but What do you think is going to be here to stay? Are you going to mix it up with telehealth sessions in the future? Or what do you think, what are we going to take into the future from what we have learned now?
Mm-hmm. I really hope that we can continue to bring teletherapy into things and allow us to have that flexibility and access that teletherapy affords us right now. For when we do have sessions in the home, I do hope and I do intend fully that we will continue this coaching model as heavily as we do now. It was always something we used, but it wasn't something we used as much. So I think that will be the biggest thing that will be different when we go back, is I'll probably be more up on the couch or a little off to the side, and the mom or the dad and the child will be the ones really doing the work, not me. I'll be there as the support and the coach. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking forward to it.
Yes, I'm going to be curious to hear how that goes for you when the children see you actually in the room and they're going to run towards you and they want to hug you and sit on your lap because they're used to that and know you this way. So I'm going to be curious how that plays out.
Yeah, well, I'm excited for the day that I get to go give hugs and have them come sit on my lap for a few minutes. I'm excited for that. Yeah.
Yes. So what resources have been helpful for you during this time? Can you share a couple of them, and we will put them on the website for our listeners?
To be honest with you, my biggest resources is not any kind of website or anything. It has been my colleagues and my coworkers. Mm-hmm. When I am stuck on something, I have my coworkers that I can call up or that I can text, or I see in a meeting and I can say, guys, I'm having this problem with this family and I don't know what we can do, or what activity suggestions did someone have for working on this skill. And I've always been able to kind of rely on other people's creativity.
Can you give us a word of encouragement?
Yeah, so if you're someone who has chosen to work with kids, you are very likely a passionate and creative and giving person. And if you are stuck right now working remotely or virtually and you're feeling like your services are less than what they used to be, just know that you still have so much power, and maybe even more power than you used to. So really tap into those strengths you have. Keep pushing those boundaries. Use the new tools that you have to your advantage. Now you have maybe more flexibility to work in different times of the day or in different places you wouldn't have been able to access before. Share your knowledge and keep educating and empowering your families. And if you're ever questioning whether or not you have that same power, just stop and look at the parent, look at their face, ask them how they're feeling. That will remind you that what you're doing is very powerful.
Thank you, Lauren, for sharing your insights. It was a pleasure having you on this podcast today.
Thank you so much, Dr. Kern. It was great to be here.
Thanks for listening to this Imagine podcast produced in 2021.